Well, the first thing is, usually in that instance, you got to listen to him.
I do.
Yeah, and that's good. And you seem to have heard what he's really saying.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
You've already done that. You've seen he's been hurt.
Right.
Obviously, because all those other reasons are shields that he's using. So right now, it's not necessarily important to take out everyone at once. You can't.
Right.
Right? But since you already see the issue, then you can speak to that portion of his life. And he'll receive it because, obviously he will, because he called you on September 11th. See? So he knows they're shields too. But pray for opportunities to disarm those shields one at a time. See? And when we get to taking off the roof, that is really where the rubber meets. It gives you a formula for doing that with each statement. That includes the Colombo method and everything. But, and there's a scripture you can memorize that helps you remember how to do it. Take in what he's saying to you and have him stay on one subject at a time. If he's saying something like, I only believe in math and science, okay? Take that. Maybe just deal with that. And try to apply that to real life. Think of things that are in his life that he believes that are not according to math and science. A lot of things, like how can you scientifically prove your love for your mom? Well, I can't. Well, do you believe that? Yes, I do. Say, well, then there are some things you believe that don't fit according to math and science then, right? You know, and you're causing, he said, well, you know. So deal with those things as they arise, and if you have time, just one, you know, let the rest just kind of, like a bunch of tennis balls, just catch one. You know, they're all flying. Just catch one and try to take your time with them on that one. And then when you feel he's disinterested or whatever, you know, you let it go and you pray for him. And then he comes back around, he asks you another question, and then little by little, you disarm those things that he has. And I believe that if the Lord is bringing him to himself through you, then what's going to happen is eventually all those things, you know, are going to fall, and then he's going to say, I just need the Lord. You know, and he's going to sense that he needs Christ. And plus, your witness to him is powerful, too. But when he's really being honestly curious about arguments, he'll be willing to stick with it with you. But if he's just throwing a bunch of stuff, usually he doesn't want answers for all those things. Those are shields to protect him. See what I mean? And so, but if you can, catch one and say, no, wait a minute. Let me just, whatever his name, what's his name?
Edward,
that's okay. Say, Edward, now I just want to talk to you about one of the statements that you made. That's all, because you made a lot. I just want to ask you about this one. Ask him questions about it. Now, you say that, you know, you believe that Christianity is just one of many religions. You know what I mean? You ask him questions, you get him feedback, and you make yourself understand it, and then you can apply non-contradiction to it. See, and show that him that, and hopefully he'll see that. And then that may be it. And then the next day you deal with another one slowly but surely. You know, and you pray. And you pray, and then there may be a day he'll come and go, I believe, oh, I just need the Lord, you know. So, yeah, exactly. But don't try to answer everything. If you try to answer everything, you'd be like, and plus, and then on that, you know, and boom, 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 you know. The person's like, what? So one thing at a time is the best way to go. Best way to go. List some statements that commit suicide. Let's do some other ones. Stop pushing your beliefs on me. Write that one down. Commit suicide. Why? That's what they're doing to you. They're pushing their belief on you that you should not push beliefs. That's their belief, and they're pushing it on you. Any other commitments, statements that commit suicide? What's that? Yeah. You shouldn't be judging. That's a good example of one. You shouldn't judge Christian teachers. Man tells a pastor, you shouldn't judge Christian teachers publicly, and he's doing it publicly. Or don't judge me. You shouldn't be judging me. See, people take that scripture. Jesus said it had a context. Jesus' scripture, don't judge. But people apply that to everything, even non-Christians.
How do you deal with that? Don't judge me.
Well, you say, well, I'm not judging. I'm making decisions about you now. And the first thing you want to do is reiterate what they said to you. You say, now you're saying that I shouldn't judge you? Shouldn't make decisions or judgments? No, you shouldn't judge me. Jesus said, don't judge me. So that's your judgment about me, that I shouldn't judge? Well, yeah. Well, aren't you judging me when you do that? And when they say, well, they're going to have to say, yeah, they are, because that's what they're doing. You say, well, I think sometimes it's okay to make judgments about certain actions and decisions that people make. So you're showing them that sometimes it is okay to judge about decisions and actions, but we're not to judge the heart and motivation. That's Jesus' context. Because in another context, Jesus said, judge righteous judgments. He said, judge righteously, told the Pharisees. So you see what I did? I took what they said, and then I showed them that they were doing the same thing to me. And then my final conclusion is that, well, sometimes it must be okay then to make certain decisions and judgments, wouldn't you say? You know, you're asking a question, then they're going to have to answer that. Well, yeah, sometimes. See, they're going to have to see that, if that's what you're doing. Yes?
I've dealt with that judgment issue several times. You know, are you judging me? Especially mm-hmm. when someone asks me, do you believe there's a heaven and hell, and you get into that conversation. But one way that I have found to refute it is, okay, what is your opinion of me? What do you think about me? And, of course, they're automatically going to answer, well, you know, whatever. Is that in itself not a judgment that you are making?
Yeah. You just did the same thing in a different way. That's a great way to do it. You've applied what they said to their lives, and you've shown them that certain kinds of judging are just, that's the way we live our lives. You know, you can imagine there's a guy standing by your car. You get out of the grocery store. He's got a gun in his hand, and he's like, don't judge me, man. I'm just standing here with a gun. You know, I'm not going to shoot you. Well, of course I'm going to judge you, man. You got a gun, and you know you dress like a cat burglar. You know, I mean, come on. So there are times that certain judgment is okay. And so you've displayed that. That's an excellent way to go about it. You display that. Yes?
This is the parent talking. Don't preach to my children. I want them to make a choice on their own.
Are you making a statement? Or are you asking a question?
This is what a parent would say.
You mean a child says to a parent?
No, a parent saying to the one who was witnessing, to the one who was talking to children.
Oh, okay. They said what?
Don't preach to the children. I want them to choose on their own.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
That's tough. See, and there are some venues when I don't want to, you know, force a priest and make them see. They are making a big logical preaching to you. They're making a logical fallacy, but there are times that, you know, I need to be a little sensitive and maybe even ask that person, well, all I want to make sure is that they make the best possible decision that they can. So I just want to make sure that I share with them, you know, what the gospel is.
The way I saw it was that person had a problem with being taught as a child.
Oh, yeah. And probably has a problem. Now, this is in terms of the gospel. Okay, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And I think that maybe it's the parent who has a problem.
Definitely is. Yeah, and of course it always depends on the setting. You know, it depends on who that person is and what it is that I'm doing teaching their children. You know, now if it's in a church setting and someone says that they brought their child to church or said, you know, you're preaching too much at them. So, of course the situation changes, you know, depending on what that person's goals are. Sometimes they're just trying to make you, you know, doubt your faith, but sometimes their objection is that they don't want you preaching at their child, then I would say that that's kind of a different subject. But of course, if you had to, you know, you could. You know, you could. But
give them the opportunity. Well, I am.
Yeah.
I am giving a child the opportunity to either repent or
not. Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm not forcing your child. I'm just informing them. You know, I would say that that'd be the best way to deal with that. I'm just informing them. You know. Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Most of the time, when they say something like that, though, if they are themselves against Christianity, but somebody new age came across up to them and was telling their kid all this stuff, they would probably not say a word.
No big deal. Yeah.
But it's just the parents have an issue with Christianity.
Right.
Somewhere in their past.
That's exactly right.
Another issue is, you probably need to ask them, when is the right time for the children to learn?
Yeah.
And how do you know?
Now, what setting is this? Why are their children being taught by you? What's the context?
Not in the church, okay? Not in the church.
Yeah, I'm just curious as to what the context is. Like, I hope nobody in church says that. They bring their child to... That's like a big logical contradiction, man. They bring them to church. She's saying, I don't think you should.
Be pretty to my daughter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like she needs to be shared with.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find that a lot in, you know, big families.
Sure.
You know, not only my family, that's very common.
Yeah. It's good to be respectful. If she doesn't want you to, then maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should pray. I mean, if she's telling you, this is my daughter, don't share with her, I would say don't. I would say maybe pray and share with your sister.
Yeah.
Because that's where the problem is, you know. Yes? I'm sorry, Rosie.
No, I was going to say that I heard that from even people that have their kids in Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
They're Catholic or they're whatever.
Yeah.
And they have them there because of the high standard of education, the curriculum or whatever.
Right.
But I heard them say, several parents, oh, well, you know, I don't really want them to be Christian,
right,
because I want them to know open mind. I have an open mind for everything, but thank God they're going to a Christian school and at least those kids are getting
sure
the truth in their life.
Yeah. And usually when a person says something about a third party, like the issues with them, the issues with them, and so if you can determine what the issue is with them, you can minister to them. You know, you can go and minister to them, because that's, Jesus did that, by the way. Jesus was the best at presuppositional apologetics. Nicodemus came to him and said, oh, you are a great teacher. You have come from God. Jesus said, unless you repent, or unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And how did that fit what Nicodemus just said to Jesus? It doesn't even fit. John 3, read the passage. Oh, Jesus, I just want to tell you, man, I loved your study this morning. It was great. Unless you're born again, you can't get to heaven, Nicodemus. But see, that's what Nicodemus was saying by complimenting Jesus. He was saying, help me. So he came to him by night, see. And you see what I mean? That was Nicodemus' heart. And so when he came, oh, how blessed was your mother, Jesus, when she nursed you. She must have been so blessed. Your mom, man, she must be the... More blessed is a person that does the word of God. That's what that person was really asking. See what I mean? They were wanting to compliment, and Jesus was saying, you need to obey the word of God. See, Jesus was able to do that. And I think that sometimes when we hear someone talking, don't hear the words, you know, hear what they're saying more than what the words are, you see. And that's a good way you can share. That's why you need to listen. Really listen. Let's move on. Taking off the roof, or taking the roof off. Number three, tactic number three. Adopt the other person's viewpoint for the sake of argument. This fits in, Vaughn, with what you were saying, and also what you were saying as well with the gentleman you're witnessing to. Edward is his name? Okay, now I forgot your name. Lisa, I'm sorry. I have to be honest. I had to do that with Gilbert a couple semesters ago. Taking the roof off. Adopt the other person's viewpoint for the sake of argument, then take it to its logical conclusion. When someone gives you a viewpoint, say this to them. Say, okay, I'm going to pretend that I believe that. Now, believing that, what does the world look like? And then start applying it. You know it's not true, but adopt it for a while. Pretend that you believe it. And then you're going to apply it to experience. Remember the test of experience? You apply it to the world. Now I'm going to show you how this works. Turn with me to Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Hopefully this will stick. Proverbs, these two verses sound contradictory. Let's read them. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. What is the writer saying? He is talking about the taking off the roof tactic. It's exactly what he's talking about. He says to do both of these things. To both not answer a fool and then answer a fool according to his folly. Now, I don't think the order is as important as what he's trying to illustrate here. What he's saying is, take that fool's folly seriously. Take it seriously. Take it seriously so that he does not become wise in his own eyes, see? Say, well, really, let me think about that for a second. So if I thought like you, bam, bam, boom, boom, boom. See? There's no moral absolutes. So you're saying there's no moral absolutes. Yes. Well, let me think about that for a second. So if that were true, let's say everybody believed that there were no moral absolutes. Well, what would take me right now from just beating you up and taking your car? Would that be okay with you if I did that? See what I did? I first adopted his worldview and then applied it. That makes sense? But I have to first answer the fool. Now, fool, non-believer, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to say non-believers are fools. Okay? It's foolish things they're saying. But it's someone who's believing something foolish. Answer a fool according to his folly. So, for a moment, adopt the non-believer's line of thinking and repeat it to them so they know that you understand what they're saying. They want to be respected and understood. So, when they say something to you, adopt it. Repeat it back to them. Then, they know that you understood them. So, then you can move on. So, when they say a statement to you, well, I don't believe there's a God because I can't see him. So, you're telling me, just repeat it back to them. See, I'm answering full points. You're telling me you don't believe in God because you don't see him, right? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Okay, let me think about that for a second. So, I guess what you're saying is that if you don't see something with your eyes, then you don't believe it, right? Yeah. Well, then I guess Africa doesn't exist. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever been there? See? That's a very simple example, but you see what I've done? What happens is it disarms the person from getting defensive because I've taken their view seriously. Take their view seriously. Of course it's not true. Of course it's silly. But take it seriously. Respect them. Listen to it. And then repeat it back to them. And then apply it. If you don't, then they're going to get just upset and flustered and not hear you. So the first thing you need to do is answer a fool according to his folly. I, for a moment, adopt that non-believer's line of thinking and repeat it to them so they know that you understand what they're saying. And now, number two, I don't answer a fool according to his folly. What am I going to do now? I'm going to apply their reasoning to real life or knowledge and show them that it does not make sense. Okay? Now, hopefully, those two steps sum up all of presuppositional apologetics for you. That's what you're going to do now. You're going to take these two steps, taking the roof off. You're first going to answer him, and then you're going to not answer him. So the first thing you do is repeat back what that person has said to you, and then you apply it to real life. You show them how their view doesn't make sense with the real world, okay? A good way to grow in your ability to share your faith is to practice doing this exercise with your friends or just thinking through the issues in these terms on your own. Let's apply this thinking to relativism, pluralism, naturalism, and atheism. Here we go. You ready? Yeah, I'm an atheist, guys. No. I'm a relativist, okay? Now, somebody's going to raise their hand. I'm Professor Schroeder, okay? And you're all in college, and I want you to raise your hand in class, interrupt me, and I want you to disarm me, okay? You ready? Here we go. How can we say that we're right? I mean, who really knows that they're right or wrong? I mean, after all, I mean, there's as many opinions in here about God as there are people in here. All of us have different views, so who can be right anyway? Yes, sir?
Are you right? Are you right with that opinion?
Well, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just making an observation. That's all I'm doing. Well, yeah, you just disarmed me. See, but that's probably what he's going to say. Very good, Albert. Very, very good. Do it again. This time, now that was great. You did it in one sentence. I want you to try that method. I want you to repeat back to me first what I say. Then I feel confident and good, and I'll listen to you. Okay, you see? I'm going to do it again. You ready? So, relativism is now in question. Now, pluralism. You know, I think we should all be tolerant of each other's beliefs because we all have different religions. I need to respect your religion, and you need to respect my religion. And you know, I am sick and tired of hearing all these Christians say that everybody else is wrong but them, and everybody else is wrong. They're the only ones that are right. Yes?
I'm sick and tired of faith.
No, wait. See? Now, Serge, wait a minute. Okay. Apologetically, you are in your epistemological right to do that. But here's the problem with that. Is the teacher going to like that? No. So, repeat it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, that was perfect. What he did is exactly right. But we're dealing with tactics now, okay? Tact is the word. Okay? Tact. That was good, though. That was absolutely right. Let's try it again. Now, he did it very well like that. But see, maybe some of the students are going to go, what? The professor's going to go, shut up! Right? But the rest of the students are going to go, what's he talking about? So, here we go. Let's do it. And you can raise your hand if you want. You know, we're all just in this rosy religious, you know, if it resonates with you, your religion, then that's great for you. That's wonderful. But, you know, if you're a Christian in this room, my goal is to show you that your religion is bigoted and self-centered and wrong. Because how can you think that you're the only ones that are right? How can you be so arrogant to think?